Good morning. Well, welcome to all our guests this morning. We thank you for joining us. This morning we're going to take a look in which Paul talks to the Philippian church and talks about who to be aware of and talks about where we are to place our confidence. And it's very interesting as we look at this because we will find out that we are not to put our confidence in the ritual, but rather our confidence is to be in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who forgave us through His blood. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning, as I said, comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evildoers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath thereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me and the mark, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Amen. Please be seated. Now it's interesting because in our text it kind of sounds like Paul's going to end this letter. Because he says, finally. And yet he goes on for a few more chapters. But that's Paul. But in this, he gives us some great information. And he tells us really the things that we are to look at as Christians and how we are to look at things. Finally, brothers, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it is safe for you. Now, it seems as if at some point in time, Paul had written another letter to the Philippians, that he's now telling them the same things that he had told them before. And he says, it's no bother to me, but it's good for you. It's safe for you to hear these things. And then he goes on to give the warning. And he says, look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Now he's talking about here is the good, righteous, and holy people that would have you go back under the law. That would have you go back to following that a certain set of rules to prove or to make yourself acceptable to Jesus Christ. And he calls them dogs. A very unattractive term, especially during the day. Dogs fed on the scraps and on whatever was left over for the most part during that day. They ran around the streets. For those of you who came back from Mexico, many of you saw the street dogs, the perros, running around, ugly, mangy, full of yuck. It's not a dog that for the most part you wanted to go up and you wanted to pet. And they were usually pretty mean. And that's what he calls these people that would have you to go back to that place. And he calls them evildoers. And yet most of the time, when we look upon those people, we think of them as righteous, as good. But that's not who they are. Because he starts to talk now to the Philippians, and he says, for we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, and the glory in Christ, and put no confidence in the flesh. You see, a lot of times we start to judge others and ourselves by the deeds that we do in the flesh. We start to look at it and go, wow, he did that. He must be wonderful. An example. All you guys went to Mexico. Wonderful. But there is no confidence that that is what makes you righteous. The reason you do that is because you are righteous. Because God has called you to that position. And if you hadn't gone, it would not mean that you were less of a Christian. We don't put confidence in what these deeds that we do here. And this is really what Paul starts to talk about in the next set of verses. He says, though I myself have every reason for confidence in this flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Now you think you're pretty good. You think that you've followed all these rules. So therefore, I must be righteous. I must be good. Paul says, you think you got something. I have more. I got everything over you. Circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. Now what he's saying is, he's from the chosen race, from God's chosen people. He's talking, for the most part, to the Philippians who are Gentiles. So you Gentiles, us, have nothing on Paul. He's a Hebrew. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. And more than that, he's a Pharisee. Which means he follows every jot and tittle, not only of what the Bible tells us in the law, but all those extra laws too that man threw in there. He's really good. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. Because of course the church was evil to the Hebrews, and especially to a Pharisee, for they were tearing down the law. So what does Paul go out and do? He goes and gets warrants to bring these people back that were believing in Christ. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Now there's a bold statement. He's followed all of those things. He's followed all the rules. He's made sure. He's gone through and checked them off. And he comes down to the fact that he realizes that this doesn't mean so much. But whatever gain I had, I count but loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever station he had moved up into in doing all these things in the right way, into that getting that fleshly righteousness moved into, he counts but loss for knowing Christ. Indeed, I count everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Compared to all that good stuff, compared to all these rules that we follow, compared to all these things that have gone on, there is nothing greater than knowing Christ. You see, the flesh can be foolish, and it can fool ourselves even. And we see that kind of in our gospel text that we read earlier with Judas. Judas says to Jesus, "Why was this old ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Now, to the outward man, that sounds pretty good. Now, John lets us in on a little secret that Judas wants this for himself. But see, unfortunately for mankind, we do this all the time in our flesh. We do things so that we look good in other people's eyes. We do things so that people will look at us and say, "Hey, look at that. Aren't they good?" This is not the righteousness that we should seek. This is not the righteousness that Paul instructs us here to even deal with. And in fact, what he calls them is dung. "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but as rubbish or dung in order that I may gain Christ." All these good, wonderful works that Paul had done, following every jot and tittle of the law, making sure that he his parents made sure that he was circumcised on the eighth day, making sure that he had followed all that code. He calls it crap. And yet we in the Christian church a lot of times will set up those same rules. We'll do the same thing and put the same yoke of bondage on everyone around us. Why? Why are we so scared of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why are we so scared that he actually meant what he did, which means that we are righteous because of what he has done? We're scared to proclaim that to all the people in the world, to everybody that we come in contact with. You are righteous because Jesus Christ has died for your sins. You are righteous because God has declared you to be righteous. We get the message at some point in our life, and then we come back and all of a sudden, well, I'm pretty righteous, but, you know, I better just make sure I do this one thing, just to make sure that I'm good enough. And so we start to set up a new code, a new ethic. And unfortunately, we become the dogs. That is not our calling. Our calling as the body of Christ is what Mark told us earlier this morning, that we would show love. Not that we would put people under another bondage. And see, this is the hard part, because we are rural people. We like them. We like to lay down these little laws to make sure that, yep, we're staying on the right line. But they're garbage. And we need to understand that. Because our righteousness comes to being found in Christ. And being found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness that is from God, that depends upon faith. One of my favorite books in the world is written by Gerhard Ferdy. And I went through it with my men's Bible study. But one of the things that he talks about is that the church has lost its power because it has lost its center upon justification by faith. It's scared of it. It's scared to proclaim that you are righteous because of your faith in Jesus Christ. People might do something that we don't like. They might be in our midst, and they might not be like us. But Paul changed the world on his missionary trips by proclaiming just such a message. That God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, reconciled the world to Himself by shedding His blood upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And the only thing He asks of you is that you would believe it. Oh, your life will change. But we don't know how. And it will no longer change towards the rules, but instead it will change to the point that you will love. That you will look at other people in the same way that God has looked at you, as righteous, as holy, as perfected in His Son, Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of the faith. Don't be afraid of the proclamation that people are saved and righteous when they believe. And Paul then talks about the power of this. But that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share in His sufferings and become like Him in His death. that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. He goes on to talk not only about the death and the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross, but on what we'll celebrate on Easter morning, His resurrection. God's power over death through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that we are raised from the dead. That we can attain this resurrection. We attain this by belief. This is a glorious victory that we have. Not something to be scared of or worried that it's going to be taken from us somehow because we break a rule. It's given to us today. And God says that He will keep us until His day of Jesus' coming. Now, does that mean this life is going to be perfect? No. Will we suffer? Yeah. Paul says that right there. But that we would share in Christ's sufferings. This world is not perfect. People get sick. People get persecuted. People die. But this is not where we live. We talked about this morning in adult Sunday school. This is not our residence. Our residence is in heaven. Our life is hidden in Christ. Our residence is in the heavenly places. What's the worst possible thing that they can do to us here or that can happen to us here? We die. And yet Paul tells us, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And this is the thing that we are to remember. We live in the person of Jesus Christ by belief. By faith, we have won the battle. And it's not in this flesh. Because guess what? Daily, this flesh raises itself up and sins. As much as I would like to mortify all the deeds of my flesh and of my mind and make sure that I don't do any of this stuff, guess what? I do. And I would dare say that most of you, as I see the nods out there, will say yes. And so if this flesh is the thing that we have confidence in, we really have no confidence in it. If we're honest with ourselves. And I think that's really what Paul was getting down to. Because our confidence has changed. Something new has come. And that's what we heard from Isaiah. Behold, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not understand it? God has sent His Son to shed His blood, to wash away the sin of the world, to make us righteous. This is the greatest thing that could happen. This is the victory that we now live in. And Paul understands that you don't get it instantly and that you won't see it until the other end. Because verse 12 says this, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. That daily I would come to the understanding and knowing that Christ has called me. That I am His. And that's something that we talked about, I think it was last week, where Paul had said, "Be ye God has reconciled the world to Himself, be ye reconciled." Understanding daily that you are reconciled to God. You are made righteous. Believe it. Know it. Cling to it. Christ has made you His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And I think this is very important for each and every one of us. Forgetting what we did in the past. Forgetting those mistakes, those sins that we committed. And straining forward. Looking beyond where we are today. Looking beyond the sin of now. And going off. Picking yourself up. Dusting yourself off and going on to serve Christ. If Paul, every time he made a mistake during his ministry, more than likely, I'm surmising here, would have condemned himself and stopped serving, proclaiming, and teaching, each time he had made a mistake, would he have changed the world? No, he would have wallowed in self-pity. But instead, he had confidence to believe the gospel that despite what we may do wrong, and despite our sins, God will continue to work in and through us. Because that is what He has called us to do. And that's really what He tells us in the end of these verses. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Sometimes it takes some time for us to get this whole thing. Lord knows I had to be hit in the head with it many, many times to try to come to the point where, wait a minute, Christ completed it all for us. He completed it all for me. And to let Him do the work through us, God will reveal it to us. Let us hold true to what we have attained. You have attained the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. You have been forgiven in His name and shed blood. And you are His children. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on all those who will walk according to the example you have in us. Sounds pretty arrogant at first glance, but then when you realize who Paul was, what God was doing in him, what he continued to do throughout his life, and even into his death. Here is a man who humbly did what he was called to do, not because it made him righteous, but because he was righteous. And this is the thing that we are to remember. We are righteous because God has declared us righteous through His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is what we are to remember. And this is why we imitate Paul, because he was an imitator of Jesus Christ Himself. And so, likewise, imitate Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You giving You thanks. Thanks that we do not have to put confidence in following the rules in this flesh. But Father, in knowing that Your Son has become our righteousness for us. And that, Father, we have taken upon His merits, and that You have declared us righteous. Help us, Father, to look at the rest of the world in that same light, with Your eyes, that they too, or that we could bring that message to them, so they too could understand that you have done everything for them. Father, work in and through us, your body, to bring this message of justification by faith, of righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, to all people, realizing that in this flesh we will never be perfected, but in Him we already are. Father, we thank you for this time to come and to hear about the victory that you have for each and every one of us. And we help us, Father, that we would put confidence in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He would be our only hope and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will conclude our service.